these reports of a house that we found and it meets our needs, more than meets our needs. The Lord is so good, it's an answer to prayer. I got a raise, we hear. I got a new job. It's better than the last one. Way, way better. And even in the heartaches of our individual lives and our families of lost ones, of losing loved ones, that's what I mean to say. And God is in those times too, isn't he? And he's been good in those times. The Lord has been so good to us. And this psalm begins with, God, be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. There's a prayer of blessing here. Would we boldly ask God for more? Dare we? Dare we be so courageous that we pray Psalm 67, verse 1. God, be more gracious to us. Bless us more. Give us more of your face to shine upon us. Notice the three areas of there, both of his grace. Lord, keep saving us. Don't be done with us. Don't give up on us. Be ever so patient with my stinking, slow sanctification. God, bless us? The Hebrew word here is both sometimes physical and spiritual, and context is what tells us whether it's physical or spiritual. But it could be here that the psalmist is praying for physical blessings. We'll learn more about that on Sunday morning from 3 John. Dare we ask God for physical blessings? Here in Albuquerque, I don't know what the median income is, but none of us are probably hurting too much. I go to people's homes and they're nice things and they're two cars in the garage and kids have their own bedrooms and clothes on the back. God has been good to us. Why? And further, why would we pray that he be more kind and more gracious and bless us even more? And it's not just that he would bless us. Notice the last of these phrases, that he would cause his face to shine upon us, because no matter how much we have and no matter how much grace, how much forgiveness he gives us, if he does not come and show us himself tonight, this is a firecracker dud. This weekend and our mission and our hope and what we put on the front of bulletins is nothing if he doesn't come and cause his face to shine upon us. If he doesn't do it, 2 Corinthians 4:6 says that the God who spoke worlds into existence would give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But getting back to this blessing thing, why would God bless us? And why would we dare pray that he would bless us more with physical things? Well, notice the that of verse 2. Circle it if you have a pen. That. It gives us the why. Why would we pray, God, be gracious, God, bless us, God, give us more of a vision of you, more of a passion for you, give us hotter, deeper worship? That. Here's why. Say it with me. That your way may be known on the earth. And that your salvation may be among the peoples. Could it be that God has blessed you not just for the enjoyment of these things, of the security of a retirement fund, of the comfort of leather seats in your car? Can we glorify God by being thankful and enjoying what he's given us? Yes. And can we also glorify God by selling it and sending it off 5,000 miles away? You bet. Why does God give us what he gives us? You look at this video from the Mook tribe, and the clothes that they wear, and their happiness is not based on any of the things that we think our happiness is based upon. And we have, and we have, and we have, and why do we have it? Psalm 67 says we have it so the nations can hear. To whom much is given, much is required. And we have much, Desert Springs. We have much of God's grace. We have much of his blessing. And we have much of his face shining upon us right now. Maybe more now than ever. And what are we going to do with it? So there's a point to the blessing. Why? Because they're people who don't know. There are people out there like the Mook tribe before that missionary showed up who don't know. They see a tree and they know there's a God, but that's it. And they're not saved. And his salvation is to spread among the nations. Listen to what Psalm 97 says. In fact, if you want to just flip a few pages over, it's worth looking at. Psalm 97, look at verses 5 to 7. The mountains melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. What's that? Volcano. The mountains melted like wax when God shows up. The heavens declare his righteousness. This is what everyone sees. And all the peoples have seen his glory. Sounds happy so far. But look, verse 7, let all those be ashamed who serve graven images, who boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all you gods, all you peoples, all the peoples of the world. Worship him. You see a tree, you know that there's a God, you know, but you don't know. Isn't that what he's saying here? You know, but you don't know. They know, but they don't really know. Isaiah 66, verse 19 says that God will one day send to the distant coastlands those who have neither heard of my fame nor seen my glory, and they will declare my glory among the nations. That's now. That's happening now, and it's been happening since Jesus left this world and gave us the Great Commission. Isaiah 66, 19 is fulfilled in Jesus empowering his church with the Holy Spirit, giving us boldness, giving us this hope, giving us this pursuit to see his glory spread in the world. And what's fascinating is as we look through the book of Acts, this great commission, as Mar said, it's not a guilt-ridden commission. There's power and there is, can't help it, sort of mentality. There is compulsion. They want to say, they want to talk, they want to proclaim, they want to spread it because they've tasted and they've seen that the Lord is good. And there are people out there that don't know. And that's why you've been given what you've been given. Notice the place of salvation here. The place of salvation. Look at all the synonyms throughout these verses. Verse 2, that your way may be known on the earth, that your salvation might be among all the nations, plural. Let the peoples praise you, verse 3. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad. You will judge the peoples. You will guide the nations. Let the peoples praise you. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. What is God trying to describe here through the psalmist? Well, these are people groups. One day God's gospel, Christ's good news, will spread among the people groups of this world. And so God has a global purpose in being this world savior. He is a world savior. He is a global savior. And it's got to get there. They don't know. They don't worship. They're not saved. And it has to get there. That's where we come in. And so there is a people's pursuit here. People, yes, but peoples. God has an interest in it reaching another culture that it has not yet reached. In him being named among another tongue that is not currently naming him. Revelation 5:8 says, one day in heaven there'll be a multitude which no man can number from every tongue and tribe and kindred and nation. So it's as good as done. We're given the promise. We're given the hope. So we go in confidence knowing that as we go to this unreached people group, we go knowing God has people there. There will be people in heaven one day from this tribe, from that kindred, from that nation, from this culture. So we go with great hope and expectancy, with a great promise. But we go with a kind of vision and with a kind of strategic vision that is purposefully to unreached peoples, because God is a people's savior. He's reaching the globe. He has an interest in this thing getting global, because again, there are places where he's not named. There's places and there are peoples where he's not worshiped. He's not known and they're not saved. And so he's not getting glory like he would like. Romans 15:20 tells us this was Paul's pursuit. I aspired to preach the gospel not where Christ was already named. That's places. That's among peoples. Yes, as he goes and bumps into this guy at the market, is he interested to share Christ? Yes and amen. Does that mean we don't witness here in Albuquerque? Absolutely not. But what it means is that God has global pursuits, and throughout the Psalms, we see it, nations, peoples, coastlands. The cultures and tongues of this world need to be saved because this is God's plan and he is a global savior because he's a global God. The fourth thing here is that it results in the praise of the peoples. It's not just the salvation of the peoples. Notice how much praise popped up. In verse 3 and in verse 5, both of them double up on this phrase, let the peoples praise you, O God. So four times you have this phrase repeated in just seven verses. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Notice this is people who've not yet praised him. There is a kind of us and them mentality. There is a kind of, there are only two kinds of people in this world here. There are those who are worshipers and there are those who are not. God does set up a line down the middle and say, you worshipers, go find more worshipers. They're over here, and they might be in your own backyard, but your job is partnering with me in accumulating for me more worshipers. The goal is worship. Now don't miss, the means of them becoming worshipers is Jesus Christ upon the cross, risen for sin. Salvation has to happen, but God's goal, his end, is not just that people don't go to hell, it's that they're his eternal praise. It's that they join the church of worshipers. And so we realize that our global purposes of spreading his glory broader and deeper in this world are not just to go and rescue from hell. Yes, that's good. It's important we don't miss it. But why do they want heaven? They want heaven because Jesus is there, hopefully. Why do they want salvation? What's the goal of salvation? Just freedom of sin? Or is it love for God? Is it an experience of his glory? Is it God be gracious to us and cause your face to shine upon us? Both gracious, yes, and cause your face to shine upon us. We tell because there are people out there that don't praise. We go or we send because there are people out there who don't know, that do not name his name. And because they do not know, and because they do not name his name, and because they're not saved, they can't worship. Like Psalm 97, 5 through 7 said, they see it, they see a mountain melting like wax, and it's the presence of God, and how sad they turn to false gods. They carve images. The invisible God touches a mountain, and it shakes, and it melts, and it spews lava, and they turn to a pathetic statue. It's a praise problem. The means is a salvation problem, but the goal is praise and worship. And so our singing this weekend, our singing every Sunday, is not unrelated to missions. It is my prayer that these yearly Great Commission as Life conferences become the highlight of loud singing in our year as Desert Springs Church. That people would know that it's not just a rallying of our minds and hearts around some videos and some people groups and a couple of messages or workshops, but that people would know that this is also the time of the year that we come for the best worship, because these things are not separate in their pursuits. The heart of worship
and the heart of missions aren't separate hearts. So there's a grave inconsistency for anybody who has hot worship on a Sunday morning and apathy towards missions. And there's a grave inconsistency about a missionary passionate about getting out there, getting souls, winning it, taking over the world, and there's no heart for worship. It's the same heart because it's the same God with the same glory. And that's why we say, Desert Springs, we're spreading His glory broader and deeper. Those are both equally important pursuits, because glory has to be more recognized in our homes and in our lives, and we sin because maybe we're not seeing enough glory, because we're not reading enough glory, because we're not singing of enough glory. He isn't praised in our homes like He should because we need more glory, and so we pray, be gracious to us and cause Your face to shine upon us. But it doesn't stop there. It's that Your way may be known in the world. And so the same heart that longs for glory in the home and glory in our kids is also the heart that should long to see glory in the Achi people of Guatemala. Psalm 66, verse 1. Look at that. It's just one page back probably in your Bible. From Psalm 67, it says, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth." Notice, all the earth is the goal. But what is the purpose in this? Is it just salvation? No, the Psalms kind of skip over that. And the New Testament picks up on that salvation theme and develops that maybe more than the Psalms do. But what we can possibly forget to do is to read back in the Psalms and not remember that this global purpose of salvation isn't just so people don't go to hell, it's so that they become worshipers. You see hints of it in the New Testament too, when Jesus said in John 4, the Father's looking for worshipers. Worshipers in spirit and truth. What He said to the woman at the well, my Father's looking for worshipers. And we partner with Him in this? This is all privilege, isn't it? We just completely miss out when we don't jump into this. And so this weekend is not about us being something that we're not. And it's not about us really, in a sense, casting a new vision. What we need to do, Desert Springs Church, Desert Springs Church, who puts the banner out there, we are about God's glory, and it has to spread, and we want it broader and deeper in the world. That Desert Springs Church needs to just more fully wake up to that vision, to see that that has infinite global possibilities and infinite global pursuits, and needs to be anchored deeper in our hearts. Yes, to strengthen kids so they don't grow up to be drunks, but also so that the nations praise Him. We want to be a church that grows in its worship, and we want to be a church that's heart and vision is growing so much broader than just in Albuquerque, and just in here, and just in numbers, just with us. Spread His glory broader and deeper is who we are. And so let's back up. Look at verses 1 through 3 of Psalm 67. Look at the progression here. Keep in mind what we've said so far. Blessings in verse 1 are for the salvation of the nations in verse 2. I've got little arrows in my Bible. Maybe you want to do the same. Resulting in the praise among all the peoples in verse 3. Do you see that? Blessings to you is for the salvation of the nations, resulting in the praise of all the peoples. And so what we enjoy as we taste and see that the Lord is good is something that we want in others. As it's been said, salvation and witnessing is just one poor blind beggar telling another poor blind beggar where he found food. And we've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And there's a grave inconsistency, as we've said. A grave inconsistency when we
think that we are glory people and we're not global people. And so we want to be globally glory people. We want to be people who, yes, are blessed and pray. We dare to pray for more blessing, but we do it so that the salvation of the nations comes to pass for the praise of God among all the peoples. This is our hope. Notice that praise is the goal of missions, as we've been saying here. But isn't there a sense in which praise is also the fuel for missions? It's not just that they need to praise so we go or we send or we think globally. Praise to God, having tasted and seen that the Lord is good, is the fuel for our mission pursuit and our global heart and vision. And notice there's also a sense in which it's the means. Praise is the means of telling. Do you see that here? It's almost like you sing the gospel. You proclaim to the world, which is a worshipful glory to God sort of proclamation in the world among those who have not heard and do not know and do not worship. There's a worship in how we proclaim. And for us who stay and send, that means, friend, there is a gladness and a joy and a happy worship about the way we send. It's not a bill. We're going to ask you on Sunday to at least consider the possibility of, in addition to your sacrificial giving to Desert Springs Church, to enjoy what you enjoy here, to think about being purposeful and maybe teaching children. You know, maybe you pull the 10% aside with the kid, they get a dollar, all right, here's a dime. You know, this goes in the offering box at church. That's great. Think about putting missions in that equation too. Maybe it's 2 pennies more. Maybe it's a nickel, I don't know. But as we do that, we keep in mind that this isn't a bill. You're not here tonight out of guilt, we hope. You're here because you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good and you understand something of global glory. It's got to get. There are places where he's not known, he's not named, they're not saved, and so they don't worship. And so we send. And so we pray. Look at the point of praise here. The last thing to consider. It's who he is. Look at all this psalm says about who God is. It says he's God. It says he's the creator. It says that he saves. It says that he's gracious. It says that he blesses. It says that he judges. It says that he guides. This is who our God is. And who he is and what he does both enables worship, the cross, and it solicits our worship. So as Christians now, we worship this God who saved us, but it also spreads worship because it's not supposed to stay here. It's not supposed to stay here. It's not supposed to just be enjoyed with a few. It's supposed to spread. Spread his glory broader and deeper. Look at what Psalm 96, verses 3 and 4 say. Psalm 96. Psalm 96, 4, I think, is going to become something of a rallying verse. Something of a rallying verse for our Great Commission as life, counsel, and pursuits here as a church. And something we said at the beginning tonight, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, that's in verse 4. We say that a lot. It has global connections. It has mission pursuits tied to that. Because if he's great, he isn't just to be greatly praised here. He's to be praised greatly among the nations. It has broad and deep implications that the Lord is greatly to be praised. We want more people in this if he's a great God. But notice what it says before that. Verse 3. Tell of his glory among the nations and his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. This is our God. Who he is and what he does both stirs us in our hearts to thank him for our salvation, to praise him for what he's done, but also to spread that abroad,
Just as we want whole families, so we pray for kids and we teach them diligently. So we want whole nations. We want people groups. We want the cultures and tongues of this world to come and praise Him. Let me give you a few things of a prayerful hope for this weekend that you might be praying with us. Five things. Maybe you want to jot these down. I think four of them will actually be in your bulletin on Sunday. This is our prayerful hope for this weekend. And really, if you count everything else that will take place as far as an official session, we really have five of them. And so it's interesting. I have five things that I've been praying for, and I realize today that the things that I've been specifically praying for are essentially our five workshops. And sermons that you'll hear over this weekend. So here's our prayer and here's our hope for Desert Springs Church as a result and a response to what we say and what we pray for and what we think and what we sing about even in our time this weekend. Number one, that we would raise globally minded children and we would be families who are prayerful and purposeful and energized in the Great Commission pursuit. Families, children, that we would be families that talk with tears in our eyes about the awesome privilege of dying for the nations. That we would read Jim Elliot biographies to our six-year-olds and say, "Do you think the Lord will call you to be a missionary someday?" Knowing that if God called them to that, that they should not stoop to be a president of the United States. If God called them to lay down life at 25, they would not waste it. Dare we pray that? I'm praying it. I'm praying it for you already, like it or not. I'm praying that our families are gripped with a global, sacrificing vision of God's glory in the world. Secondly, that every class and every ministry and every leader and every slice of anything you want to think about, every line item in our budget here at Desert Springs Church would realize that the Great Commission is not just one of many ministries we do here, but as we're saying, Great Commission as life, or we could say Great Commission as church, or Great Commission as ministry, so it's not a ministry, and it's not a week, and it's not a line item, but everything we do has global implications and purposes for it. Just like worship is tied to everything we do, so part of the response of worship is the global spread of worship in the world. And so we can't say worship is central to who we are as a church, but missions is just a slice of the pie. If we say that worship is central to who we are, then we have to say that the spread of worship in the world is central to who we are. So my prayer is that every ministry here gets a hold of that. The first one was the Harper's workshop, Saturday morning, tomorrow morning, 8:30 a.m., about being a Great Commission family. The second one is Matt Ellison's workshop. What is it, 10 o'clock or so? 10:30? Matt Ellison will be telling us how to be Great Commission-minded in my Desert Springs Church ministry. Say, "I'm not in charge of a ministry. I'm not really a leader." Come, help us. Whether you're not in a ministry and you want to be and you can and you'll get plugged in and you'll take getting plugged in a vision, a global vision of how to be globally pursuing God's glory as a greeter, as a cookie giver, as a CD seller. We want a global glory perspective in every slice of our church. Thirdly, we're praying that we would take advantage of the uniquely global and intercultural and international opportunities we have staring us right here in our own backyards. ISI, we mentioned that earlier, International Students Incorporated, right here with international students at UNM.
Will you make your Thanksgiving or Christmas so slightly uncomfortable or awkward that an unknown international student that doesn't speak English quite as well would be at your Thanksgiving table this year to show Christ, to share Christ? You'd invite them to church and have them over every Sunday after church for lunch or whatever. Anything that is purposely global, knowing that we have global people already here and they're going to go. In fact, visas now are changing. You'll hear all this tomorrow morning in Quentin's workshop. But visas are changing now and they can't stay. They can't stay like they used to because of September 11th. And so now they come over for school and visas expire and they're gone. And God has a providential global purpose in that, doesn't he? Let's take advantage of it. The fourth thing, I've been praying that God would get a hold of our hearts, that whether it be in Guatemala or Africa or Albuquerque, that it would not only be something as we pray, and there's the key there, prayer, that as we pray, we're not only praying for God to save the nations, which he has to do, he has to turn a foolish message into a powerful message, and we pray because he's a God who loves to answer prayer, and we want more glory, and so he's glorified in answering prayer, not just in doing it himself. He loves to partner because he answers and gives and gets the glory in that. But not only praying that the nations would be saved, but praying that he stirs our hearts for missions right here, right now, this week, this year, that we would be an absolutely enthralled, passionate, and strategic global glory church. Matt Ellison's message tomorrow night is on that very thing of prayer. And lastly, that as a church and as individuals right here, that we would wake up to the reality of our partnership, our necessary partnership in sending, not just in going. The key word here is sending. Wake up to your role as a sender. I need to wake up to my role as a sender. And this is our morning, Sunday morning message. In just a couple of days, we look at the book of 3 John, written to a guy named Gaius, who was a glorious sender and understood that he's a fellow worker, that he partnered with those who go. And some from Desert Springs may go. That's not our emphasis this year. Maybe next year we'll talk more about you. How about you? Why don't you think about going? You, retiree, gray-haired, why don't you think about spending your retired years in Siberia? But not this year. This year we want to really emphasize the thing of you don't have to go. And we don't just need goers. We need senders. And we are fellow workers with those who go. As we stay, and when raises come in, we go, this is glory money. This is global glory money. And so it's not just more padding for our bottoms and our cushy chairs, and it's not just a nicer car, a newer car, more investment in the retirement fund. When those raises come in, or a bonus, or an inheritance, that we would be passionate like those who go to stay and send. The money we have and the resources the Lord would give us, and maybe we would even be so bold as to pray for more. Lord, give me an inheritance. Lord, give me a giant Christmas bonus so I can send. So I can send more. So I can give. So I can be global with my money because I don't lay up treasures on earth that corrupt and fade away. But treasures in heaven where nothing fades away. Because that's where you are. And that's what your purpose is. And so what we're doing this weekend is uniting our vision to God's, because God has global purposes for his glory. All we're doing is hitching a rope to that giant Goodyear blimp
that he's already sailing, that he's already doing. He's already spitting Jonahs up through bellies of whales where he wants them to save people. He's doing wonderful things among the nations. And we just want to partner with him in that. We just want to be privileged to see it. As we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that implies responsibility. And so, we're going to close things tonight with prayer. We're going to ask you to get into groups of two or three or four and to pray for these things. And maybe you wrote down those five things and maybe you'll mention those. We're just going to take a few minutes to do that. And in just a few minutes after you start praying, Marsh is going to come up and lead us in that great song, Glorify Thy Name in All the Earth. And that'll be your cue to quickly wrap things up in your prayer and to sing. And to sing that prayer that the Lord would glorify his name in all the earth. And let's say, starting with me, Lord, glorify your name in all the earth through my checkbook, through my home, through my kids, through my Sunday school teaching, through my ministry at Desert Springs Church, through my prayers, through my Bible reading, through my extra biblical Bible reading outside the Bible.